Begin the current daf, Masech Tzchulin daf Nun Daled. Begin four lines down with the top of the Yamad, where the Gemara continues with a similar discussion from the previous daf, qualifying this halacha of drusa that we were talking about regarding when the animal gets clawed by a perpetrator, type of an animal that has some type of venom in its claws, which then makes the victim into a treifa. So Yosef Rav Yitzchok Bar Shmuel Bar Marta Kameder of Nachman. The Yosef would come in and was sitting, and this is a similar dialogue like we had with Rav Zvid in the previous daf. Drusa Shamru, regarding this halacha that we said that there's a victim that was clawed, Tzricha Badika Keneged B'nei Ma'ayim, we require that it be inspected opposite the viscera, that area which is by the intestines, the cavity of the animal. And the Gersa is Amar Lei Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman said to him, who Rav Yitzchok Bar Shmuel Bar Marta was saying the halacha in front of him, he says, Elikim, by Hashem, Mori Bar Rav, Rav had taught this, and he was accustomed to teaching this, that it requires an inspection, Mikapa Vad Atma, from the spoon, which we're going to shortly explain what that is, until the thigh. So that has to come from my kapa. What do you mean by the spoon? Which obviously we mean the shape of a spoon in the animal. Ila Mikapa the Yada, if it means the spoon of the hand, which is the shoulder blade, which is this wide bone by the shoulder, going until the atma, which is the thigh. Well, haynu keneged b'nei ma'ayim. Well, that's exactly like the teaching that was just said, because the lung, the liver, they're all included in the b'nei ma'ayim, in this area of the viscera, so it's the same thing. So what exactly is he saying that, oh my, how could you say this, but Rav had always said, from the spoon until the thigh. So Ella rather says, Gemara, what Rav would say was, mikapa de meicha, from the spoon of the brain, meaning the spoon of the skull. There's a spoon-shaped area in the skull, ad the atma, until the thigh, which that, when we say, is the whole cavity of the animal, even opposite the simonim, the pipes, the trachea, and the esophagus, even that is included in the area that has to be checked, which was more than the shear that Rav Yitzchok Bar Shmuel Bar Marta was saying over. When Rav Chi Bar Yosef went up to Eretz Yisrael, again, continuing this dialogue, this halacha, he encountered Rabbi Yechon Rish Lakish. They were sitting and they were saying, this that we say that a victim that is clawed has to be inspected opposite the area of the intestines. So Amalahu, he said to them, Malikim, by God, what do you mean? Rav had said, requires more than that. It has to be from the spoon until the thigh, which, as we just explained, means even from the area, the top of the, even top of the pipes, which are right by the spoon shaped of the brain of the skull. So Amalei Rish Lakish said to him, Manu Rav, who is this Rav that I always hear everyone saying, Rav said this, Rav said that. And I don't know who he is. So Rabbi Yechon said to Rish Lakish, what, you don't remember Rav? When you saw him before he went down to Bavel. La'isa Tama, that student, Shashimish as Rebbe Rabba of Rebbe Chia, who he attended to the great Rebbe and to Rebbe Chia. Velikim, and by God, Kolaisan Shonim Shashimish Isa Tama Yeshiva, all those years of that student, meaning referring to Rav, when he was still here in Eretz Yisrael, and he was attending in the Yeshiva, Ani, says Rabbi Yechon, Shemashti Bamida, I would attend standing because he was greater. He was sitting, and I, like he said, he was be Yeshiva. And I would attend standing because the greater ones would be able to sit, and I had to stand. Uman gavahu, and then regarding what is he great? Gavah b'kul, he's great in everything, in Torah and in Chassidus, with himself, with others. Now, b'yad pasach Rish Lakish v'ames. So immediately Rish Lakish opened up and he says, ah, I remember him. Barim zachar isa ish l'tayv. However, we should recall that man for good. Sha'amr shmu mipiv, because they said over a teaching from his name, that Shmuta, if they find a trachea that was detached from the animal. Vishchuta, however, it was also slaughtered. And we don't know, was it slaughtered first before it got pulled out from the animal, then it's kosher? Or was it pulled out first and then slaughtered and then it's treif? And he said, Kesher, it's going to be kosher. Why? Because it can't have a trachea that was detached that should be slaughtered, because it was first detached. Then it would have fell down, and then it would not have been cut with the slaughtering knife during the time of the slaughtering. Whereas Rabbi Yechonam, he actually says, no, Yav v'yakif. What you have to do is, you have to go ahead and make another cut in the trachea, and then compare it to the cut that we're in doubt about on the trachea. And if they look the same, those cuts, then it's actually treif. Because since they look the same, so that would tell us that also the first cut was also afterwards detached, like it is right now as we're doing the new cut. And then Rabbi Yechonam says, actually, then it would be treif. Now, Amar of Nachman, he says, Lo Yishanu, we didn't learn this heter that Rish Lakish was saying over the name of Rav, that you can't have a shmuta that was nishchata. That's elishulay tavas b'siman. That's only if when he was slaughtering, he wasn't holding on to the pipes. Aval tavas b'siman b'mishachem. But if he was holding on to the area of the pipes and he slaughtered, efshel shmuta shatiyasa shchuta, then you could actually have a detached pipe which is not really connected to the animal, and thus a treifa that can be slaughtered because you're holding on to the area and making sure it doesn't fall down when you're cutting. And therefore, that even Rish Lakish and Rav would agree that that would not necessarily be kosher. The Gemara continues and concludes the halacha of our previous Mishnah, which we're talking about at length, of Eilu Treifas. So the Mishnah, this is the rule, whatever thing, any symptom that an animal would have or wouldn't survive, that's going to make the animal into a treifa. So that is the Gemara, so you may, what's that coming to include? We already had 18 treifas, we mentioned the Mishnah, what are we including? So the Gemara, Lasu Yishav Shmaitz, is coming to include the seven Amorim teachings that we had at the beginning of the parak of Membezim and Alf, which Amorim had traditions, different treifas, that was not so explicitly mentioned in the Mishnah, that's being included from the Zehaklal. Now the Gemara continues and says, so that seems to be the limitations of all the treifas that we know that there is in Halacha. However, the Gemara brings the Bei Yosef Rishba, the house of Yosef the hunter. So Macha, what they would do is they would hit an animal, Begida Nashi in its sciatic nerve, either with an arrow or with a stick, vakatli, and that's how they would kill the animal. So the students, they came in front of Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaseir to ask him, he says, wait a second, if an animal gets wounded on its sciatic nerve, it should be a treifa, because we see that this is what this hunter and his family does, that after it gets hit on the sciatic nerve, it dies. So that should be another treifa. Amalahu, he said to them, Mechila Haisav al Treifas, yes, what do you think? And they're going to come add on to the list of the Treifas? Ein lecha ela mashaman chacham, there is only what the sages tell us, which the Gemara is going to shortly ask, but we see that it dies. How could that be that the sages didn't say it, so it's not a Treifa? But similarly, the Gemara says, and the Gersa adds on the word Debei, Debei Rav Papa Bar Abba Rishba, the house of Rav Papa Bar Abba the hunter, and they would do something similar and different. Machu Bakulia. They would take an arrow and they would hit a wild animal on its kidney on the upper part. And they would be precise that the arrow doesn't go further down than the kidneys into the viscera, into the cavity of the animal, just to hit the kidney, the cutly, and the animal would die by itself. Now, Asla Kameh the Rababa, so they came in for the Rababa to ask, well, what if someone would slaughter such an animal after it got such a wound? So Amalahu, he said to them, would you want to add on to the treifas? There's only what the sages tell us, and a hole in the kidney is not something that's going to make it into a treifa. That has the Gemara, but we see that these two types of things that these hunter and their families would do, the animal would die. So why is that not considered a treifa? That says the Gemara. I mean, we have a tradition. If we would spread out on those wounds some type of medicinal herbs, it would live. And if it's not a treifa, because a treifa, something that has a mortal defect, it's going to die. Question is when, but it's a treifa. Here, although we see that it dies, it's only because it's not treated. And therefore, it's not considered a treifa, and therefore, those are the words of the sages, and those that's the absolute truth in the limitations of what the treifas are, and halachas of making an animal non-viable. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, the inverse of the previous Mishnah. The elu k'sheris b'behem, and these are things that happen to an animal that are valid, and it's not a treifa. Nikva ha-gagera, so it talks about some of the things that we spoke about in the previous Mishnah, and saying that here, they're not a treifa. So if the trachea has just a hole, unlike the veshet, which we said the safek is, if it has just a hole, it's a treifa. Gageris, we said, requires more than that to be severed. So if it just has a hole, without missing the size of an isser, as the Mishnah is going to explain, oishanistika, or if the trachea is split in its length, as the Gemara had said in Daf Memheim and Aleph, that if there's at least a little bit of the trachea on the top and the bottom, if it's split in the length, then it's okay. Now, on that qualifies the Mishnah, ad kama techaser, how much could the trachea be missing that it's still going to be kosher? So, Shemim Lilim, he says, ad keiser italka, until the size of an Italian iser, which is a type of a coin, even if it's missing, up until that, it's still going to be kosher. Another case, says the Mishnah, nifchasa hagalgalis, if the bone of the skull is deficient, is missing, but we see that b'leinikav krim shel mayach, but that the membrane of the brain has not been punctured. So that's still kosher. Nikif alev, if let's say the heart is punctured, but v'loy lebeis chalol, it doesn't go into the cavity of the heart. Still kosher. Nishbar hashedra, let's say the spine breaks, but v'loy nifsik ha-chutshala, but the spinal cord, which is where all the nerve endings go from the brain throughout the body, did not get severed. It's also kosher. Nitla ha-kovid, if let's say the liver was taken out, but v'neshtar ha-menikazayis, and however there's at least an olive size left of it. All these cases that we're saying are all kosher. Hemsis or beis hakeisus shenikvazu zele toichze. If the second and the third stomachs of a ruminant, which are the kosher animals which have four stomachs, that these two stomachs are near each other and the walls are flush and attached one to the other. Now, at the edge of the two of them, that's where they open up one into the other. So what the halacha of Mishnah is telling us, if let's say they develop a different hole where their walls are attached, not where the end of that stomach connects to the next one. However, the hole is not visible to the outside, rather it just goes from one stomach to the other, so that's kosher, because anyways they spill one into the other. Here it's just another hole in a different place. Nitl hatchil, if the spleen is taken out. Nitlu hakloyus, if the kidneys are taken out. Nitl lechi atachton, if the lower jaw of the animal is taken out above the flesh, because as the Gemara elsewhere had explained, that the simanim, the pipes, are still attached to the flesh, it's just that the jaw, the bones, are taken away. Nitla ha'im shala, if the uterus of the mother, meaning of this female animal, which is where the child is placed, is taken out of the animal. Or v'charusa b'dei shemayim, or it's charusa through the hands of heaven, as the Gemara explains later on, the Afnon Heim Abeis, that the lung shrivels because of something that a natural cause. For example, let's say the animal gets frightened from thunder and lightning, where the term charusa means that it's hard, like charoya shaldeka, which are the hard branches of a palm tree. The Gemara will explain, how do we know if it happened through natural, meaning b'dei shemayim, or b'dei adam, through human intervention? But if it was dried up through natural means, then it's all these cases that we described are still going to be kasha. Now the Mishnah concludes, hagluda, an animal that's flayed, meaning that all its skin that's taken off, either because of boils or because of work, that caused its flesh to come off, and nothing is left. So Remeir Machshir says, that's still kasher, but Vacham Poisim, they say it's possible, and the Gemara is going to explain how much of the hide has to be left, that it's still going to be kasher. Now, wherever it says the terminology elu, so that's generally an exclusionary terminology, to say these and nothing else. So, Itma, we had a machlokes as follows. Rabbi Yochanan, he says, we have two Mishnayos, the first Mishnah opening up and our Mishnah, that both say the word elu, these, which sounds like this, and we're excluding something else. So we have machlokes, which one is the primary? Rabbi Yochanan, he says, elu treifas dafka. The first Mishnah, which says these are the treifas, was specific. Rabbi Shimon Lakersham, he says, no, elu kasheris dafka. Our Mishnah that says these are the kasheris are specific. Because sometimes we say one of them is specific and the other one we say secondary because the other one we wanted to say the terminology. So the machlokes is which one is the primary? So says the Gemara, regarding what point are they disagreeing about? Says the Gemara, b'derab masna, specifically to the halacha of Rav Masna, if that is a treifa or not, is going to be the contingency of this machlokes. Dam Rav Masna. Rav Masna had said, we quoted this in the previous daf, haibuka da'atma, the ball of the thigh bone, the shaf miduchti, which got removed from its place where it's connected to the animal in the hip bone, it's a treifa. That is a treifa. So it's that halacha that's the machlekes. Rabbi Yechin Amma, he says, elu treifas dafka, the opening mission of our parak, these are the treifas, that was specific, which is tana treifas. The mission opened up by saying, counting those that are the signs of a treifa. The Tana and the Mishnah says at the end, Zehaklal, this is the rule. Now, as we said previously, Zehaklal comes to include other things which weren't explicitly mentioned, like we said, the Shav Shmeitza. Now, as a continuum of Beis, the Chazye, so the Tana saw that Ludrav Masnam, that the teaching of Rav Masnam, if we're not going to come to explicitly exclude it, that the Asya, that people are going to come to include it in the general category of treifas, b'zeh haklal, with the words that he used, with saying, this is the rule. That people might think, oh, that's also in the rule of things that an animal might not survive. My time, why did the Tana think that others might include it in the zeh haklal? Because the Dami l'natule. It is similar to other treifas of the mission that were mentioned of the cases that if something is taken away. Because here it's taken away, because it's popped out from where it's connected in the hip bone. And our Mishnah spoke about that that's a sign of treifas. Like we said, if the kidney's taken away, if the liver's taken away, we said that's a treifa. So therefore, Tana elu treifas, that's why the Tana opened up his words by saying these are the treifas as an exclusionary terminology to tell you, honey, these netuli that we mentioned in the Mishnah, that's who the treifa. Those are the ones that are going to be treifa. However, ha, the Rav Masna Kshera, but the one of Rav Masna, that one is not included in the category of things that are taken away that are treifa, and rather they can be kosher. Now, once the Tana had to open up saying the words Eilig Treifus, which Rabbi Yechon holds that's the one that's Dafka, so that's why in our Mishnah also he said the word Eilig Sheiris, even though we're not really excluding anything. It's just once we said Eilig Treifus, so we said Eilig Sheiris. Now, whereas Reb Shimon Lakash Amei says, no, Eilig Sheiris Dafka, our Mishnah is the specific, explicit one of saying that these are the ones that are kosher. And the reason is as follows. Because Tana Treifus, the opening Mishnah said those types of categories that are treif. V'tana ze'aklau. And they ended up by saying, this is the rule. Now, Rish Lakish holds, v'chazi l'drav masna d'loy asti b'ze'aklau. That Tana was concerned that he thought people would not include Rav Masna's teaching in ze'aklau. My time, what's the reason? Because lav l'neku v'damya. When the thigh bone falls out from the hip bone, that ball, it's not similar to a category of puncturing. It's not a puncturing. It's not similar to those which are being severed, like we have a trachea that's severed. This is not a severing. And this is how Rish Lakish is different than Rabbi Yechon. He also didn't think, the way he's explained the Tana of the Mishnah, that people would think that it's similar to those which are taken away, because it's not totally taken away. When you take out the liver, it's totally away. Here it's not totally away, it just popped out. The animal's still limping along. So Tana Eluk Sheiros, that's why the Tana taught that these are the things that are kosher in our Mishnah, the explicit one, meaning the specifically Elu, to tell you, Hani, those that we said in our Mishnah that are taken away, those are Hudik Sheiros. Those that are ones that we said, even if they're taken away, the animal's still going to be kosher, like if the spleen is taken away, or if the kidneys are taken away. But this, when the thigh is taken away, the Rav Masna, when it pops out from the hip bone, that is going to be a Trefa. And that's why, because our Mishnah is the specific one. That's the Machlekes Rabbi Yechon Shlakish, which was Dafka, again, relating to if the halacha of Ramasna is going to be kosher or treifa. Now, Gufa the Gemara now explains this actual halacha of Ramasna. He says, Haibuka da Atma, like we're explaining, it's the top of the thigh bone, which is stuck into the hole, which is by the bone of the hip bone, which is the alya. The Shaf Miduchte, if that bowl pops out from its place, so Ramasna said, treifa is going to be treif. Now, Rav Amma, he says, Ksheir, no, it's going to be kosher. Which, like this machlok is Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish. But he says, v'ifsik nive, but if the sinews that are on the top part, which is where the hip, the thigh bone is attached to the hip bone, in that hole, there is some sinews, these what attaches the bones to each other, and it's very small, if that gets severed, then treifa, then the animal is going to be treifa. Now, says Gemara, v'hilchos, actually, halacha is not like either one of them. If signamik share, even if it's severed, it's still going to be kasher. Ah, the mesachle is achuli. Until it actually deteriorates, until it decays, only then will it be considered treifa. Now the Mishnah said, "Ad kama techasa v'chulu." How much does the trachea, the gargaris, have to be missing to be considered a treifa? Because up until then, even if it has a hole, the gargaris is still kosher. Now Amaziri, he said to those who are around him, "Atun dolei mischami lochein shiura." You have not seen this measurement because you've never seen an Italian Isser in your days, which is the measurement that we said would then make it into a trefa, if it's missing that much in the trachea. Shiuri bedina rekurdinius, I'll tell you something that's the equivalent that you do know, that you do recognize, which is from the area of Hari Ararat, which is a Kordinian dinar. And I'll tell you another equivalent. Vavaki pshita zutrasi, it's like the small pshita, which is another type of a coin. And you can find it amongst the pshitim, which are these types of coins, in Pumbadisa. And again, if you need to know the measurement of the hole of the trachea, if it's a trefa or not, you can find it in those coins too. Now, relating to this halacha, the Gemara brings Amr b'chana b'pesera. B'chana b'pesera, who was what's called a shulchani, he was a money changer, and he had in front of him many different coins because people had to exchange currency over there. Ila minoi havakoi barnafchi. So then in front of me, on top of me, was barnafcha, who, as Rashi says elsewhere in Shas, refers to Rabbi Yechonon. Ubaimini dinar kordinian. He wanted from me a kordinian dinar, which we just explained before, is the same shear as the Isser Italki, which is the measurement for qualifying the tarfus in a hole in a trachea. And the reason why he wanted that coin was l'shar b'treifas, because he wanted to measure if an animal is a treif or not. Now, Uboy Lemekim Mikim, I wanted to get up in front of him, the great sage Rabbi Yechonon. V'loy Shav Kani, he didn't let me get up. Amali Shev Ben Yishev, he says, sit my son, sit. Ein Bali Umanias. You don't allow the craftsmen who are busy with working for other people to be Yishoyen Laman B'nei Tamid HaChacham and B'Shosh Shasukim B'Malachim to get up in front of Talmudic sages at a time when they're busy with their work. Because this Reb Chana Pesera was a money changer who was working for someone else with a 50-50 partnership. It was the other person's shop, and he was just working over there. And he has to be very careful and very vigilant to be busy with whoever comes in to ask them what they need. As a Bryce teaching Tosefta, that if someone is working for someone else in this store, 50-50 or some type of a partnership. So if he's a professional, he shouldn't be busy with his own thing because he has to be busy with the store at the time when he's busy. So therefore he says, you're not allowed to get up for me because you're busy working with someone else and this is an important part of your job and you can't be busy even standing up for a Talmud Chacham. And that is the Gemara of Eloi. He can't stand up for a Talmud Chacham. But what's not, we learn in the Mishnah that talks about regarding those who bring Bikurim, the first of the seven fruits of Eretz Yisrael, they bring it up to Yerushalayim. As the Mishnah says in Masechtas Bikurim, it says, Kol Bali Umaniyos, Omdim Ibneim. All the craftsmen, all the professionals would stand up in front of those who were bringing the Bikurim. And B'shalim B'shalimim, those who live in Yerushalayim would ask them about their welfare. V'aymalem, and they would tell these people bringing the Bikurim from all around Eretz Yisrael, Achenu Anshei Mokum Pleini, our brothers, the people from that place, wherever they came from, Bayachem B'shalim, let your coming be in peace. So you see that you could stand up for a Dvar Mitzvah. So Rabbi Yechanan, he says, Nom Ibneim Oimdim. Only in front of them, those who were bringing Bikurim, the people, the craftsmen would stand up to honor them so that they should be accustomed to come. But in front of a Talmudic stage, like Rabbi Yechanan said, that you don't stand up. So, Amar Rabbi Yisi Bar Oven, based on this discrepancy, he says, come and see kamecha viva mitzvah b'shaita. How dear is a mitzvah at a time when it's being done, how much we have to endear it. Shari Mimnei Maimdim, we see that when they're involved in the engage and bringing Bikurim, we stand up in front of them. And Mimnei Tamin Chachamein Maimdim, but however, in front of the Talmudic stage, we don't stand up. And that the Gemara refutes that proof, because Meimai, who said that's the reason? Because it's Mitzvah B'Shaita. Dilma Kadesha Loi Tehei Nimtza Machshin Las Lovin. Maybe the reason is simply because we don't want to cause a stumbling block for those people who are bringing Bikurim for the future, because if they see they're coming to Yerushalayim, no one's smiling at them, no one's honoring them, they're not going to come and do this again because it was a huge trip to go and bring their Bikurim from wherever, how far they lived, and because of that we stand up with them, not necessarily because of Chaviv Mitzvah B'Shaita. Now the Gemara goes back and continues this halach of Mishnah regarding the size of an Isri Talki, which is the shear of considering up until that the animal is still kosher, even if it has a punctured hole in its trachea. So Amar Rav Nachman, he says as follows: he says kisela, wherever the rabbanim, wherever the rabbis gave a measurement of the size of a sela. For example, we have a machlokes regarding what's considered a deficiency in the spine or in the skull. Regarding, as we find the Mishnah in Olis, what's considered a deficiency, which then there's not going to be any tumah in the oil anymore, because either it's the whole corpse, or it's the spine, or the skull, which could transmit tumah in the oil, but has to be intact. So regarding the skull, Bisham may say that it's the size of the hole of how much a drill would make. Basil says it's how much would be taken from a living person that then they would die. Now, Rabbi Yehuda Mishmuel says, as we had this in Daf Membeis and Membeis, that the same halacha would apply for a different context regarding treifa. If it's missing, that then it's not a viable animal and would be considered a treifa. Now, the Gemara B'chayris, of Lamazayim Abay, says, so how much is this measurement of Beis Hillel, that how much of it would be taken from a living person that would die? It's the size of a sela. And some say actually that it's explicitly told in the Brisa, that it's the share of a sela. So Amar Rav Nachman is telling us over here that when the Rabbanan said that the measurement is the size of a sela, they meant an exact sela, which is that means to say, when we say that it's a share of a sela, it's kiyesa misela. It's like more than a sela, meaning just like when the measurement that, let's say, is drilled in the head, in the skull, is going to make it a treifa if it's more than a sela. When they said that a sela is the share of a deficiency, they meant exactly a sela. And therefore, it's going to be just like when it's more than a sela, and it's going to be a treifa already if it has the size of a sela. Now, so too, in the context of a different coin, which is the measurement in our Mishnah, we said how much until how much could the trachea be missing that we could say that the animal is still going to be kosher? Because it's in the context of our Mishnah, which says elu kasheris. We said these are things that are valid, even though they have what seemingly are problems. On that, the Mishnah said, and ad kama, until how much is going to be kosher in the deficiency in the trachea? It's until it's ki iser, until it's the size of this Italian iser. Now, but what that tells us is that, but once it's like an iser, then it's kiyasa mikiyasa. Then it's like whatever is more than the iser, which then if that's how much the trachea is missing, then it's going to be a trefa. And that applies to like if it's the size of iser itself. Now, says the Gemara, based on this teaching of Rav Nachman, Amuk Sav Rav Nachman, we see that Rav Nachman holds that when our Mishnah said that how much could be missing in the trachea until an Isser is going to be kosher, obviously he holds that we don't say that until, and whatever the word until was said is included, rather, ad v'loy ad b'chlal. When we say until, we mean not including that last number, that last amount, that was saying until that. Meaning, when the Mishnah says that up until the size of an Isser, the animal is going to be kosher, that's how much is missing from the trachea, it's not including what was said up until, because when it's the size of an Isser itself, the animal will be a trefa. Because, obviously, when the Mishnah says until, it meant until how much is kosher, because it's going on our Mishnah, which was saying Eluk Sheris. And it's saying until how much could be missing and we're still going to say it's kosher. That, the Mishnah says, until it's like the size of an Isser. Because if we'd be going on how much would make it a Trefa, then it shouldn't have said until, it should have just said how much should it be missing and become a Trefa, and that's the size of an Isser. That's not the words of the Mishnah. Rather, it's saying until how much is kosher, and it says up until an Isser. But Isser is not included in being kosher. And that's what Rav Nachman is explicitly saying. He's saying, what's like an Isser is like what's more than Isser, which is treif. So you see, obviously, that he holds ad v'loy ad b'chla. When we say up until, we don't include what was said up until, everything up until that, rather. However, on this concept of ad v'loy ad b'chla, Eitzvei Rav Rav Nachman, Rav asked Rav Nachman for the following Mishnah Masechtas Kelim. The Mishnah says, Chevel ha-yitzim n'mita. A rope that's coming out from a bed, which is how they would make their beds, that after that the bed was roped around, which held up the mattress element that they would use, that the skin of the animal, the hide. So you have some of the rope left over, which is hanging from the bed. So ad chamisha tvachim tarsa, says the Mishnah, if the rope that's dangling is only up until 5 tvachim, well then that rope is tar, because it's very small. It's not useful for anything. So therefore, we don't consider it part and extension of the bed. So therefore, what would the Mishnah saying? If the bed becomes tummy, that's tar. We don't see it as an element that's secondary to the bed. Now, but one thing asked Rava, my lav chamisha kilamata, the wording seems to indicate that until 5 tvachim, sounds like that 5 tvachim is like less than 5 tvachim, and that's included in being tar, because it's very small. But one thing we see is that when it says up until, it's including the until, that 5 tvachim is like less than that, which is not like Rav Nachman. So the Gemara, no, chamisha kilamala. No, actually 5 tvachim is like more than 5 tvachim. It's actually going to be tummy then, as the Mishnah says over there in Masechtas Kelim, in the 19th parak, the second Mishnah, that if the rope is from 5 until 10 tvachim, it is tummy. Why? What's the utility? It's because they would actually use that rope to tie the Karban Pesach to their beds, which actually recalls what happened in Mitzrayim by the Karban Pesach, which they tied their Karban Pesach to the beds, as the Pasuk says, and like the Pasuk says, Yisroch HaGbevayisim HaKaran Samizbeach, which to tie the Karbanis, and similarly the Pasuk says, V'hoi Lechem L'mishmeres, this should be for you a safeguard. Additionally, the utility of the rope has that if they would want to lower the bed, that rope, that size, actually has utility. So therefore, it's not a difficult Rav Nachman. No, to the contrary, actually 5 is not included in the ad, and actually that would be tummy. But the Gemara, Rabbi continues asking, Tashema, the Mishnah over there says, as we just said, Meheva ad asara tummy. If the rope is from between 5 tvachim until 10 tvachim, then, as we explained, it is going to be tummy. Whereas, however, it's actually more than 10 tvachim, then it's actually going to be tar, because that's actually, that beyond 10 tvachim is actually too much. And therefore, that would be end up being cut off because it has no utility. And the fact that it's a rope itself, that would not be mekabel tuma, because a fabric to be mekabel tuma has to be spun and woven, as the Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos, and you don't have that by a rope. It's only as being secondary to the bed, but more than 10 tefachim, it's already too big, you have no utility for the bed, so then that would already be tar. But between 5 and 10 tefachim, that's going to be tuma. One thing asked Rava is, my lama star kilamata? Doesn't it sound like that, however, when the 10 tefachim itself is like less than 10 tefachim, it's going to be tuma? So you see, ad vi ad bechlal? So the Gemara, no, asar, kilamala. No, 10 tefachim is actually like more than that, actually would be tar. But the Gemara continues asking, Tashma from a different Mishnah Masechtas Kelim. It says, Hadakin shebikli cheres, the small earthenware vessels. So hain, the vessel itself, the karkarisein, and their bottoms, v'defnesein, and their walls. Yeshvin shalayim samachin, that could sit without being supported with another element. So as we continue to have Nun Hayim and Aleph, shi'uran b'chtei sikas cotton. Their measurement is the amount that you could use to smear a miner. Meaning, whether the vessel itself is only retains the amount that you could smear a minor, or if it broke and now you only have the bottoms of the vessel, or the walls have been retained, but they could at least sit unsupported. So then that's what the Mishnah is saying, they're still considered vessels. If the measurement is that it could contain the amount of oil that you could use to anoint a minor, then it's going to be a kli that could become tummy. Now, however, the Mishnah says, but that's only va'ad loik, meaning this measurement that we're giving for the remnants, for the broken pieces of a vessel, is only if initially this vessel was only something that was used to contain a loik. Because if its initial structure was for something more than a loik, then the broken pieces require a measurement of a revius aloik, as we're going to explain later on. But when there's something that was a small vessel that only contained a leg, then actually the remnants for it to be considered significant to be a kli mekabel tuma is only if it has the amount, or only needs that you could use it for the amount of oil that could be used to anoint a minor. But one thing asked the Gemara, my love loy kilamata, sounds like up until the leg, but that the leg is also like less than that, and that would be enough with shir mechde sichas katan. So the Gemara, no, again, loy kilamala, no, actually a leg would be like what's more than that, which, as we'll continue the next daf from that Mishnah over there, which says what measurement that has to be. But again, it's only up until a leg, and that is exactly like Rav Nachman said, ad v'loy ad b'chlal, and only if it's less than a leg, which shiurin be b'chtei sichas katan.